God's blessing and peace be with each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We read from His holy word this morning from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of God before us today. We see this morning Lydia's legacy to the church. It's a sad reality today that the current state of Christianity is marked by a conglomeration of different entities. We often refer to these groups as synods or denominations. The state of affairs is common to us today, this idea of Christianity. But in reality, in the grand scope of Christian history, this concept of the church is relatively new. For most of the history of the Christian church, there hasn't been a splintering of different factions. The fact that groups of Christians are separated today on a number of different points is a difficult thing to understand, and sometimes even harder to explain to other people, especially for those outside of the church. Many non-Christians today see this element of current Christianity as reason and proof that the Word of God is insufficient to unify people, to bring people under a common belief and teaching, as we know God promises to give us in His Word. It's also difficult for us as members within the church, on the one hand, to understand what are all the differences between these groups of Christians, but also to reconcile in our minds, are these legitimate differences, or are they foolish ones? Two sobering facts help us understand why this is the current state of Christianity today. First, Christians are sinners. Christians struggle with prejudiced thoughts, with misplaced biases, with poor self-seeking motivations, just as much as anyone else in the world. And we'd be fools to think that these ailments and these struggles have not affected the church and our witness of God's word. The second fact stems from the first. One of the biggest dangers facing Christianity today, and a byproduct of the sinfulness of Christians, both in terms of its seriousness and in terms of how it affects the church today, one of the biggest dangers is false teaching. For example, Peter warned in his letter. He said, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their unrestrained ways, and the way of truth will be blasphemed because of them." Peter warned in the early church, when we have the mindset today of thinking none of these problems existed back then, Peter warned them, this is happening right now and it will happen in the future. And this is the result and the effect that false teaching will have on the church. Many will fall away. Many will blaspheme the truth. Many will be deceived. One of the reasons that the church today is fractured into divisions is that false teaching has prospered. And perhaps more discouragingly than that, many Christians don't care at all. You know enough about our current culture to know what it thinks of the Word of God, but you probably also know enough about mainstream Christianity to know what it thinks about the Word of God. Christians who take the position of our church that we want to follow every word of God, that we believe every thought from the Bible is true, are often maligned and criticized in our culture, are often maligned and criticized by other Christians as backward thinking, old-fashioned, irrelevant, sometimes even dangerous to our society. Many people use Christianity today to cover their own personal opinions and feelings. Outwardly, they project their Christian faith. They make it look like they're standing for God, but inwardly, their motivation and desire is to gain what they want. We know that feeling well, not just by seeing it in the world, but knowing that very thought and temptation in our own hearts to use what God has given us for our own gain. If you take a stand against these things today, if you preach against them, if you talk about them, you're considered as someone on the outside looking in. People by and large today, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, simply don't care as much about the warnings that God gives and the warning of false teaching and how dangerous and prevalent it can be. And because people care so little about it today, it spreads like a wildfire among churches and among God's people. What does all this have to do with our text for today? Lydia's legacy to the church is not about false teaching. Neither she nor Paul cared about a particular denomination. They were not Lutherans. That didn't even exist at that time. The reason we talk about her today and the reason we bring false teaching into the discussion is because we see through her example of faith both the reason why we are at the place that we are at today in Christianity, but also the solution that God gives us to break through the confusion of the division in the church today. Lydia's example this morning was given at a time when the church on earth was in its infancy. Division certainly wasn't as rampant as it is today. And we see her in her faith following a simple process of trusting in God. And we see what the fruit of that was and how profoundly effective it was for the church. The process is listed in verse 15 of our text. Very simply put, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. This isn't a confusing thing. You don't have to be a lifelong Christian to know what the solution is. You don't have to be instructed in every doctrine of the Bible to know what the solution is. It's put here in these few words. We also know very little about Lydia herself. She's only mentioned in this one chapter of the Bible, and she's only mentioned twice, here in our text and at the very end of the chapter, after Paul and Silas are let out of the prison in Philippi. She is brought to faith. She becomes a member of that church. She becomes influential in the church of Philippi. You think of Paul's letter to the Philippians, of the church that prospered there. And she was baptized here. This is about all we know about her as a person. The legacy of her faith is not about who she was. It's not about her as a woman. It's not about her as a business person. It's not about her as a leader. It's not about her at all. It's about the simple verse that we might easily overlook. What made her faith strong? What made her faith great? That the Lord opened her heart and she listened to what the Lord said. We have to keep this same fact in mind when we think about our lives and when we think about our witness of our Christian faith as we share the message of Christ in the world. It's not about you. It's not about them. It's about Jesus. We live at a time and in a day and age when we so carefully analyze and observe one another, and we divide people up based on their identifications, based on things about themselves. We divide people up based on categories, skin color, socioeconomic status, gender, religious background. We focus so much on who the person is that sometimes we forget that comes at an expense of how God sees the person. God doesn't see a person by any of their identifications on the outside. God sees the heart. It's important for us to heed this first lesson from Lydia's legacy, that we don't make it about us, we don't make it about them, but we keep it focused on who Jesus is. We keep our actions, our thoughts, our intentions, our motivations led and motivated by what Jesus has done for them and us. That was how Lydia lived her faith. She didn't make it about herself, but she followed the call of the Lord who opened her heart to listen to what was said. So many divisions, both in our society and Christianity, are based on focusing too much on ourselves or on other people and forgetting about God. The second lesson we see about Lydia is what serves as the proper foundation for the true confession of Christianity, that the Lord opened her heart. This is really the bedrock that all other points of our faith rest on. And when we change this foundation, when we have a different starting point than the Lord coming to us, than the Lord opening His Word to us, that's when a void is created where false teaching can enter in. And when you look at differences in churches today, you can often trace them back to this simple point. What do they teach about the Lord's work in our lives? What do they teach about the Lord opening things up to us? So how do we understand this better for our lives? Well, first, the Lord must lead the way. Lydia did not perceive God on her own. We're told that she was a follower of God, but we don't exactly know what her worship looked like. Obviously, there was something about Paul's witness to her, about Paul's teaching to her, that was different than what Lydia believed already. There was something new that Paul brought to her that caused her to learn something different. We also know that she wasn't at this point baptized and brought into the family of God in that way yet. Therefore, the first step in our lives, as we think about the bedrock, the foundation, is let the Lord create the opportunity. It was not in Lydia taking the first step that led to this place that she got to. Neither she nor Paul knew when the day started that the Lord would bring them together. Paul simply went to the place where outside of the city of Philippi, people commonly gathered for prayer, and he looked for an opportunity there to preach the word to those people. Lydia did not choose that to happen. She did not make God her Lord before she came to faith. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord created the opportunity for her. Obviously, the next logical step would be an opportunity for what? To hear the word presented. We're not told what words Paul used. We're not given a quote. We're simply told in our text, she opened her heart to the things spoken by Paul. We don't know the direct message that Paul stated, but we don't have to speculate about it either. We know from other writings that Paul gave us, other examples, what he would say in this kind of opportunity, what he would do when the Lord opened someone's heart to hear. Later on in the book of Acts, three chapters later, Paul summarizes this approach to a different group. He said, I have declared to you the whole counsel of God. So when Paul had an opportunity to share the message of Christ with someone, he used every word of God that was given to him. When the Lord opened up someone's heart to listen to what Paul had to say, he would bring them the Word of God. A little bit more in depth, Paul said to the Romans about this, what does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. The Word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that section from Romans is not a direct interaction with someone. Paul's not talking about a conversation that he had, but he's teaching them, this is what you do when you have the opportunity. This is what you say when the Lord is opening someone's heart to hear. You give them the Word of God. The message that Jesus is Lord, that He has died on the cross, that He is risen from the dead. And when you give that message, you do not shy away from the whole counsel of God. It's clear that when Paul spoke, he spoke the Word of God in its truth. This was the purpose for the opportunities that the Lord created for Paul. His will was that the message of salvation in Christ in all of its points would be given to someone clearly. And that principle, let the Lord lead the way, use His word, brings us to our final step. She paid attention to what was spoken. It's this last point here in Lydia's legacy to the church that probably creates the most division today. It's a lightning rod for different Christian groups. The main question is this: how much of faith, whether we think of it in terms of coming to faith or staying in the faith, how much of faith is dependent on us? I'm sure you know the quick answer from the Lutheran Church on this. It's by grace alone. We have nothing to do with it. It is all God's work. Didn't we just say the Lord created the opportunity? We cannot achieve salvation on our own. We cannot earn faith by our own merits. That's all true. But the confusion enters in, because how can we then teach and still emphasize that we need to pay attention to what is spoken? Notice the steps that Lydia takes. The Lord opens her heart. Paul preaches the message, but she also pays attention to what is given to her. Is paying attention something that we do? Is it something that God requires of us before we can come to faith? Is it a work or an effort in that sense? There's where you can see how the division can easily enter in. And so we need to be careful how we navigate this thought in our process, because as Christians, we don't want to oversimplify what God is telling us, because we're leaving something out then. But we also don't want to get so complicated in our understanding and explanation that we add to the Word of God. And so we have some churches today that focus on paying attention, teaching that there are certain works you must do. There are certain feelings you must have. There's a certain amount of effort that you need to show before you can know that you're saved, before you can be sure that you have true faith in Jesus Christ. But there are some churches that are so afraid of approaching those topics that they never discuss them. And they leave people wondering, well, I know that I'm saved by faith and grace alone, but what about what God is telling me to do here? What about the expectations He has for my life? Can I just skirt those off because I'm saved by grace alone? How can we not get extremely confused ourselves about what is appropriate for our lives? And we start to see a little bit about why the church is in the state that it is in today. On the end of our spectrum as Lutherans, it's easy to practice our faith as if we are mindless machines. Just throw the content in and everything will be fine. Maybe we think about it in a terms of a symbol, like we're a cup. Just throw Scripture in there. Fill it in with Scripture. Throw it in and let God take care of the rest. Well, what if there's a hole at the bottom of the cup? What if there's a problem in my life, in the way that I practice my faith, in the way that I'm paying attention, that is disregarding all that content that's coming in? It's easy for us to look at it this way because we know we don't want to detract from the power of God. We don't want to make it something that we do. It's all good intentions. But even good intentions are not an excuse to miss something that God is teaching in His Word. Do we at times, as Lutherans, lose sight of our personal responsibility before the Lord because we focus too intently on the fact that He is creating the opportunities? That's the question for us from our end of the spectrum, but all Christians must eventually wrestle with that thought and follow what the Word of God says. And these are the difficult things that we come across when we realize that we are not mindless machines, but we are individuals that God created with unique wills, emotions, and feelings. That's going to make it more difficult at times to understand and follow what the Lord is saying. But it also is going to make the effort more fruitful in the end. So how do we best practice our faith and understand and have the ability to share with others what makes our faith different? How we believe we are following what God says? How do we hear and pay attention? Well, the answer is in this simple lesson from Lydia's legacy. Simple as it is, when we keep it completely intact, the Lord gives us everything we need. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. If you separate any principle out of this statement, you end up losing it all. If you take the Lord out of the picture as the first cause, as the one who has done all the work for us, as the one who creates the opportunities, then you slip into subjectivism and you start believing that salvation is something you earn or gain for yourself. Maybe you even start to define salvation as something completely different than what God has given. If you leave out what was said by Paul, if you take the Word of God out of the picture, if you take out the solid content, the whole counsel of God's wisdom in law and gospel, then you will be left trying to manufacture for yourself some sort of artificial wisdom or path of salvation. If you forget to pay attention, if you think, as long as I show up and let the content come in, I don't have to worry about what God says. Maybe that's not the way we would phrase it, but that's what it can become. If we forget to pay attention, then we'll fall into hollow religious practice and hypocrisy. It's important that we listen to even the simplest things that God gives us and how profound they can be for our lives and the great effect that they can have in the world. If we take this simple legacy from Lydia, and if Christians would diligently follow it in their lives and seek to conform their belief and their practice to what the Word of God says, we would see a lot of the division and the heartache of the current state of affairs dissipate. All of these things relate back to one of the three things that we see in her lesson: to how we treat the Lord and His work, to how we use His Word, to how we pay attention. Lydia's legacy is not about different churches. It's not about false teaching. It's foundational to faith. And because it's foundational to the faith that all Christians share in Jesus Christ, it is something that we can use to look at those individual differences that we have. It's something that will affect those things. And so we ask both for our lives, for our church, for our world. We ask that God would give us the wisdom and willingness to follow. In His name, amen. Please rise.